In 2004, Tom Hanks, the actor Tom Hanks, came out with an animated movie, The Polar Express. How many of you have ever seen The Polar Express? So quite a number of you. It was based on a book by Chris Van Allsburg about 20 years before, sometime in the mid-80s. The movie is about a 12-year-old boy who has become a skeptic about Santa Claus and has started to doubt Santa's existence. And on Christmas Eve, a magic train shows up in front of his house, intent upon taking him and other children like him to the North Pole to meet Santa Claus. Now, the movie did a wonderful job in capturing the feel of the book, but also in deepening the sense of mystery of the journey. That journey to the North Pole was a quest. It was put in a quest format. A strong sense of quest was part of the journey to the North Pole. Sometimes children's books don't translate well to a 100-long-minute movie, but I think this one did. What's interesting to me about the movie, and you might be asking why am I talking about a Christmas movie at Easter, is that it's not really the movie about Christmas Eve, and it's not really about Santa Claus. That's obviously its setting, but the movie is speaking about something much deeper. You see, Santa in the movie, if you've seen it, has an almost godlike feel to him. And it's pretty clear to me, at least, that Santa Claus is really a stand-in or a proxy for God. And the young 12-year-old boy, his doubt is really the world's growing doubt and cynicism in a faith that stands beyond our immediate grasp. Something that goes beyond our senses, goes beyond our ability to measure. And the question in the movie is this: do you believe in God? Can you believe in God? Now, there's an interesting philosophical argument going on in the movie. I've got the mic here. Is my mic off? Yeah, I'm just going to stay with the lectern mic, please. There's an interesting philosophical argument going on in the movie. You wouldn't expect that in a kid's movie, would you? A debate of sorts, it's this: is it seeing is believing, or is it believing is seeing? That is the core philosophical argument of the Polar Express. It is a really fascinating conversation going on in the movie, whether we believe because we see, or we see because we believe. Is belief the cause or the effect of seeing? Tom Hanks and the Polar Express were not the first ones to stumble onto this philosophical question. It's been going on for a long time, thousands and thousands of years. I've mentioned to you in the past about Augustine's famous saying, "Do not seek to understand in order to believe, but rather seek to believe in order to understand." Do not seek to believe, do not seek to understand in order to believe, but rather seek to believe in order to understand. It's just another way of reframing the philosophical argument in the Polar Express. You know, is it understanding, is it seeing that leads to belief, or is it belief that leads to understanding, to seeing? Now, of course, in real life, the life that we live, we experience what's a dialectic between the two ways of knowing and understanding. By dialectic, I mean a conversation, an interface between them. It's the interaction between these two ways of knowing that produces true knowledge for us. See, no one lives just by seeing as believing, and no one lives just by believing as seeing. It's the combination of the two that leads to true knowledge. Today, I would suggest that we put extra emphasis and prestige on one side of the equation. In Western civilization, in 2022, we give privilege, a huge privilege to seeing is believing. The scientific method that we're all familiar with that permeates our culture is rooted in seeing is believing. If you can't touch it, if you can't see it, if you can't hear it, if you can't smell it, if you can't describe it, if you can't put it into an equation or an algorithm, then it's probably not real. Or it needs to be treated, whatever it is, with great skepticism at best, until you can see it, or until you can touch it, or hear it, smell it, describe it, put it into an equation or into an algorithm. But what happens in life when we try to live with only one of the two points of view? If we put most of our cards on the one side of the ledger, on the seeing is believing side of the ledger, the movie, at least, Polar Express, says we miss out on a lot when we do that. We miss out on a great deal. We might miss out on the essential elements of life by only living on one side of the ledger. Seeing is believing. And I think the goal of the movie, and why it can permeate simply and move beyond the Christmas season, is it wants to move us back into the world of believing is seeing, to bring that other side of the ledger back into our focus. It's about lifting up the importance of believing first and then seeing, bringing back this way of knowing into the conversation, creating that dialectic between these two ways of knowing for us. See, if you don't believe something is possible up front, it's very likely that at times you're not going to see it. It just won't be there to be seen by you. You will move past it unknowingly. It may be a thing, it might be an experience. If you don't believe something's possible, you might not even bother trying. And we call this a self-fulfilling prophecy. I would expect that many of you have had this kind of experience. You misplace your car keys. What do you do when you misplace your car keys? Well, you go about looking through the common places in your home where you would put your car keys. And when you don't discover them in the common places, what do you do then? Well, then you start looking for the car keys in places you don't normally put them. And after you've exhausted all that potentiality and you still haven't found your car keys, what do you do then? You panic because you think you might have lost them. And after you panic, what do you do? Well, it's likely you start over again. At least that's what I do. I start from the beginning. I start over again looking through all the common places that I might have put my car keys. I open the drawer a second time and voila, there they are. Has that ever happened to you? Something like that? Okay. I suspect it's happened to most of you here. You have that sense of amazement. This is impossible. I looked at this drawer just a half an hour ago, 60 minutes ago. They weren't there then. Now they're here. How is that possible? And I have an explanation for you that I think makes sense. I'm confident you didn't see the keys in the drawer the first time because you did not believe they were there, and so you didn't see them. Your belief precluded you seeing the keys in the drawer. It was only in your desperation that you took another look. It's your desperation that caused you to look again in a new way, and voila, there they are, sitting in the drawer. See, your pre-existing idea interfered with your ability to see. And this happens all the time in life. Our beliefs shape our experiences. Our beliefs shape what we can and cannot see. Our beliefs even shape what we can and cannot experience in life. Our belief shapes how we hear things. You know, two people can say exactly the same thing to you. The one person you trust and you know loves you, the other person you don't trust and you don't believe loves you, they can say exactly the same thing to you. They can even mean the same thing, but you will most certainly hear them differently because of your belief that precedes their words. See, belief shapes perception. We may be hearing the same thing, but we're interpreting it differently. Why is it that Mary doesn't recognize Jesus in the garden on Easter morning? Why is it? Now, it's possible one explanation might go like this. She was so full of tears, she was crying so much, her eyes were filled with tears. The tears interfered with her proper way of seeing. She just couldn't recognize who it was that was standing before her. Her tears interfered with her proper seeing, clear up her tears of grief, and she would be able to recognize Jesus standing in front of her. That is a possibility. Another explanation could be this. Maybe Jesus' appearance in the resurrection is different than it was before he died. Maybe something's changed. He's not so easily recognizable in form anymore. Because this isn't the only time the disciples do not recognize Jesus standing before them in the resurrected state. Maybe he looks a bit different. Maybe he's not obviously the same person. It's a possibility. The gospel stories of Jesus' resurrection, however, seem to take a different tack. The disciples don't recognize Jesus resurrected before them, it seems, because they don't expect to see him. That seems to be the real barrier in the resurrection stories. They can't see because they don't believe. Jesus is dead. Dead people stay dead. They don't come back from the dead. That's our common experience in life. So there's no point in looking for him. Everyone knows this. It's not rocket science. There's probably very few people here today who have not been touched by death in some form or another. Much to our sorrow, we know people don't come back from the dead. It's a universal experience through time. If we're lucky, we might get a sign after someone has died. This happens to people sometimes. Something mysterious or mystical happens to us. We have a signal from the other side that comes to us. I had a vision of my father about 6 weeks after he died. It was a jaw-dropping experience for me, a total surprise. But it didn't change anything, really. He was still dead after the vision as he was before it. People know today, and they knew in the past, that when people were dead, they just stayed dead. And they might get a vision of someone if they were fortunate, but there was no expectation that once a person was dead that they could be standing in front of you in a garden or along a roadside or wherever. It just didn't happen. And I think the best explanation about Mary not recognizing Jesus in the garden is this. She didn't believe it was possible. Completely outside of her experience, completely outside of her expectations, her preordained beliefs were shaping what she could see and what she couldn't see. The belief might have even led her not to even look at the person who was speaking to her in the garden. She might have been looking all around her while looking for Jesus' body, trying to figure out where they had taken it. It's like someone looking into a drawer for keys and not... It's like someone not even bother looking into a drawer for keys, actually, because they don't even expect the keys to be there. The drawer stays shut. If you think you've lost your keys, you won't even bother to look for them if you don't think they're there. And that's the case with Mary. She didn't maybe even think to look in the direction that might have actually made all the difference. So Mary missed the moment. Distracted in her grief, certain that Jesus was dead, she didn't even bother to look over in the one direction that would have made all the difference to her. And this can happen to us, any of us. Maybe in Mary's point of view, there was no way for her to see Jesus. Maybe she couldn't even see him. Even if her eyes were cleared of tears, even if she wasn't distracted in the moment with worrying about where his body was, even if she had thought to look in Jesus' direction, Mary had no frame to recognize Jesus, no way of understanding or no way of actually seeing him. Her understanding interfered with the reality standing before her. She can't see him because she doesn't believe it's possible that he could even be there. Like looking into a drawer and not seeing the car keys because we don't think they're there. And it makes me think about what I might have missed out in my own life because of my beliefs. What if I walked past, unbeknownst to me? What if I walked past it that could have mattered so much to me because I didn't think it was possible? What did I accidentally turn away from because I was distracted in my emotions? What blessing did I drop because I forgot even to put my hands out to receive it? What have you walked past in your life unbeknownst to you because you didn't think it was possible? And what did you accidentally turn away from in life because you were too distracted in your emotions to pay attention? And what blessings did you let drop because you didn't even think to open your hands to receive them? How will we ever know for sure? Especially if we're caught up in that seeing is believing way of life. Because seeing is believing doesn't even acknowledge the possibility of failing to see as an explanation for why we didn't see it. If we didn't see it in seeing is believing, if we didn't see it, it's because it's not there. That's why we didn't see it. It's not there. Mary almost missed seeing Jesus. It's a close run thing, you know. She doesn't see him, so he can't be there. Remember, seeing is believing. She doesn't believe he can be there, so he's not. It was a close run thing. If she misses seeing Jesus, the whole Christian story could have been stopped right in that moment. If Mary moves out of the garden without seeing Jesus, the whole Christian event in history is ended before it even begins. And Jesus has to rescue the situation. He has to help Mary to see. Jesus is going to excite Mary's capacity to see so that she can believe. It comes down to a simple word, her name, Mary. Must have been something about the way Jesus said her name to her. Maybe it had a certain cadence to it, Mary. Certainly, Mary had heard her name mentioned by Jesus many times. These two go way back. They go way, way back. It's possible they even go back before Jesus formally started his ministry at the Jordan River. They could have gone way back before then. He ultimately exorcised dark spirit, dark energy out of her, maybe even before he began his ministry. So they go way, way back. The connection between the two of them was strong, very strong. The way that Jesus used her name, no one spoke her name that way, no one. And so the voice breaks through the unbelief. It awakens her heart. The voice carries her name into her heart. And that moment of instant recognition and belief comes to Mary. Her eyes are opened. And she sees what she thought was impossible. Jesus standing before her. And she believes. Sometimes seeing does lead to belief. Do you want to see God? Do you want to know God? Likely you're going to have to believe first in order to see. You're going to have to believe before you understand. That's just the way it works. Sorry about that. It's hard for us who are committed to seeing in order to believe. It's hard for us especially who have dedicated our lives to that way of living. It's going to be hard for us to begin with believing first in order to see. The boy in the Polar Express movie comes to a place where he has to make a choice, a fundamental choice. Is he going to stay with his seeing as believing way of knowing, or is he going to take a risk and believe first in order to see? It's possible, you know, that the Lord is standing before us in life at times. Maybe right in this moment, right now. But we just don't have the faith or the insight to see him standing here. Maybe God is at work in your life today, working through you. Maybe God is at work through you, but we just don't recognize God at work in us or through us because we don't have the frame of reference to understand. We're committed to seeing is believing, but maybe to recognize God working through you, you have to have faith first. You have to believe in order to see. We're kind of like the boy in the Polar Express movie. We have a decision to make. Are we prepared to believe first and then move to seeing? That's the choice the boy makes in the movie. He finally gets there. Mary, in her own way, gets there too. In truth, we need both ways of knowing. Seeing is believing is important, but so is believing to see is important too. They're both important ways to know. It's the interface between these two that makes true knowledge possible for us, that leads to fruitful knowledge in our life. Living from only one side of the ledger leads to personal poverty. It's just that today in the world that we live in, for most of us, the default way of knowing, seeing is believing, is quite well developed in us. But the believing is seeing, it's atrophied for many of us. So let's get practicing believing is seeing. We can make it into a mantra. That's what the boy does in the Polar Express movie. He makes it into a mantra. He says to himself, I believe, I believe, I believe, over and over again in order to believe. See, believing is seeing at times in life, and we need to make it second nature for us so that when those moments come to us, we're ready. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. He could have said it this way, blessed are those who believe in order to see, for they will see God.